إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned this month of Ramadan al-Kareem in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this month only once in the whole kitab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. I remind myself to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentioned this month of Ramadan, later on in these ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned fasting, and he said whoever sees this month must fast and so on. But the first mention of this month is related to the Kitab of Allah, to the Quran. And therefore, it is important, it is essential, it is critical, it is incumbent upon us to reflect on this ayah and to build a relationship with the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. It is incumbent on us to build a relationship with the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the year, all our lives. But especially in this month, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned this month in relation to His revelation. So what is the meaning of developing a relationship or building a relationship with the Quran? The meaning of relationship is the same as we understand the meaning of relationship in any context, which is that a relationship is based on a benefit that is derived from it. Every relationship remains as long as it is beneficial. So therefore, we have to see what is the benefit that we are deriving from the Quran. What is the benefit that we derive from the Quran? And that's the reason why we do not have a relationship for a lot of us, because we do not take any benefit from the Quran. So we should think about this and say, how can I benefit from the Quran? And what is the benefit from the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. Why was it sent? هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the benefit, it is sent for what? It is sent for guidance, for hidayat. And this hidayat is what? This hidayat is that which enables you to differentiate between right and wrong. It has been sent with guidance. It has been sent with clear proofs to establish its magnificence, to establish its truthfulness and its veracity. And as a result of that, it is sent as a guidance. And this guidance is to differentiate between right and wrong. That's the meaning of guidance. Guidance towards what? Guidance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guidance towards benefit in this dunya wal akhirah. And that comes from the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. And this relates, a good example of this is to look at what is halal and what is not halal. But obviously guidance is not restricted to that. I'm giving that as an example, because it is easy to illustrate. Everything which Islam has made haram, everything that Islam has prohibited, is in itself harmful to the human being. Right? By itself, even if there was no Islam. Even if there was no Islam, the things that Islam prohibited us from are things that any sensible, responsible citizen would do as a matter of choice, because these were good lifestyle choices. A person would eat things which were not harmful. A person would drink things that are not harmful. A person would not take drugs. A person would not drink alcohol. He won't put an inflammable chemical into his body. No sensible person will do that. I mean, anyone who's doing that, Muslim or non-Muslim, is insane. He's crazy. He's foolish. Why would you do that? Why would you take drugs? For what? And similarly, other things. Why would you steal? Why would you lie? Why would you cheat? Why would you fornicate? I mean, for what? How does it benefit? How does it benefit anyone? I'm not even talking about the akhirah. I'm saying simply as logic, as sensible creatures. So guidance is the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. Now you might say, well, if all of this is so clear, why is there a need for guidance? Well, you tell me why there is a need for guidance. I mean, this is all clear, but how many people are doing it? How come there are governments which permit industries which breed cancer, like cigarettes and so on, right? The government permits it. It is not illegal. It is legal to manufacture cigarettes. It is legal to sell cigarettes and tobacco products, all forms of tobacco products. Those companies are legal. They are paying taxes to the government. But the product comes with a huge big warning on it. This product is injurious to your health. This product will give you cancer. What sense does it make? Tell me. If the product is injurious to health, and if you as a government are responsible for the well-being of your people, why would you permit the manufacture of such a product in the first place? Why would you permit the manufacture and sale of alcohol when you know all the evils that are related with alcohol? You know what alcohol does to people individually. A nice way of dying with alcohol is cirrhosis of the liver. There are some very much more nastier ways of dying than cirrhosis of the liver. What it does to families, yet as a government, you permit the manufacture and sale of alcohol. But you say this is harmful. Okay, should not be given to children under the age of 18. As if 18 is some magic number, after that alcohol is no longer harmful. So it's harmful only for people up to the age of 18, after that no problem. Why would you permit as a government, why would you permit gambling? You know gambling destroys homes, you know gambling destroys wealth, you know. Why would you permit that? Now leave governments aside, why would people do it? I mean, let the government permit anything. At the end of the day, I am the one going and buying a pack of cigarettes, right? I am the one going and buying a bottle of brandy. I'm the one who's going and putting my money on resources or cards or whatever. Why am I doing that? So if anyone thinks that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm sending the Quran here so that this is a guidance between right and wrong. But after all, we are logical people, and don't we know right? You ask me, you tell me. Are we logical people? Do we need the Quran? So we need to ask ourselves this question and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this kalam with clear evidence and clear proofs as guidance for mankind so that they can differentiate between right and wrong. The fundamental, the foundation of this right and wrong is to understand who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I gave you the examples of haram and halal. But the fundamental of haram and halal is the one who made something haram and who made something halal. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the foundation and fundamental foundation stone of all hidayat and all guidance is tawheed. Is la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It begins with that. And that is the reason where in Ramadan al-Kareem, this fundamental thing is reinforced, where we are asked even to give up that which is halal in normal circumstances for that period of time. We all did suhoor, alhamdulillah. Now we will not eat or drink anything until the time of iftar. No matter when that time of iftar comes. In the UK now, the suhoor time finishes at 3 a.m. and iftar time is at 9 or 10 p.m. That's how long the fast is. Alhamdulillah, here it's in India, in Hyderabad, it's so easy. And the ajeeb, the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was 43 degrees. It was like standing in front of a furnace. And on the first of Ramadan, the temperature fell to 33 degrees. 10 degrees drop. Just like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent one rain, khalas. That went down. Now you ask people, how did it happen? They say, no, because of dharir. This is the meaning of hidayat. The reason I'm giving this example is because you say it's because of the rain. Is it because of the rain or is it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the rain? It's not a rhetorical question, right? My sheikh used to say, I'll translate this into English later, but because all of these are Urdu speaking people except my brother there. My sheikh used to say, कुत्ते को पत्थर मारे तो कुत्ता पत्थर को नहीं काटता तुम्हारे को काटता बोलते एंड देन ही वुड से वो कुत्ते को ही मालूम है पत्थर कहाँ से आ रहा माय शेख यूज्ड टू से इफ यू थ्रो अ स्टोन एट अ डॉग द डॉग डजंट बाइट द स्टोन ही बाइट्स यू ही सेड इवन द डॉग नोज दैट द स्टोन कांट डू एनीथिंग देयर इज समवन सेंडिंग दैट स्टोन. So what is our brain? Think about this. You say, why did the temperature fall? Because of the rain. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. That is why the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. That is why the Quran comes to draw your attention and my attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fa'il haqiqi. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah jalla jalaluhu is the fa'il. Allah is the one who does. The fa'il haqiqi is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And as I said, it's not a matter of semantics, not a matter of saying, nahi, Allah is karra raha, hum aisa bolega. Nahi, that's not the issue. The issue is, do you really say that with that belief and with that yaqeen? That alhamdulillah, this comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this intizam for our Ramadan, alhamdulillah. So that even though we are in the summer, how easily, today is the fifth fast, it's gone, 5 days, 4 days gone, fifth day. We didn't even feel it, And similarly, the month will go like that, then we have Etekaf. Then people will go 10 days, 10 days. By the time you finish one day, it's like the 10th day is finished. So the Quran comes for us to differentiate between right and wrong, for us to understand the haqiqat, the reality of this life, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. That there is no one worthy of worship. La ilaha illallah. La nafi wa la darra illallah. There is no one who can benefit, there is no one who can harm, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it brings a huge amount of comfort into the heart. It brings a huge amount of confidence into the person. Because what is there to fear? What is there to fear? Anxiety for what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, I worship Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can do anything. This was the basis of the confidence of the Salaf. And this was the basis of the confidence of the Salaf and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, where for any need, they would first ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they even made effort. They made effort, they made a lot of effort. But first they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this famous hadith, he said, even if a shoe strap is broken, even if the shoe strap is broken, he said, ask Allah. Think about this. Why must he give this example? There's many examples to give, no? But he gave an example of something which is so haqir, something which is so small, something which is so, insignificant maybe. But he's giving that example to emphasize that anything small, from the smallest to the biggest, nothing happens except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ruju ilallah, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, as we progress, we will talk more about this. But for today, let us remind ourselves to develop a relationship with the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And the bunyadi, the first thing about that is to read the Quran. Tomorrow we'll talk about reading and so on and so on and what does it mean. But read the Quran. Make sure that you read at least some part of the Quran, at least one juz of the Quran every day, so that in Ramadan, the whole month, you will complete the Quran. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not only make it easy for us, but to help us to enjoy it and to bring the sweetness of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts, so that we read it with the pleasure that it is possible to get from this. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.